Hello, and welcome to another Pop a la Carte, number 102. This week, we have an absolute ton of trailers to discuss. The Expanse Season 4 is dropping, and I've seen a few episodes. Crisis has given us 3 episodes of, I don't know, something to talk about.
A crisis?
Of a crisis. Yes, it is a crisis. The Star Wars cast keep putting their foot in their mouths. Cast and crew. And Tatiana has a review of both Marriage Story and Little Women. So we're going to start with the trailers. I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
Now we're going to start with the trailers after I cough again. So we'll just go in the order I had listed, which is Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
What did we think of the Black Widow trailer? Mm-hmm. It's hard because, like, you know, I'm like all about the Marvel and I actually like Black Widow.
Yeah.
But I am also the person who never thought we needed a Black Widow movie. The whole point of her character is to not know more about her. And
right.
So I didn't, like, as much as people are like, it's too little, too late. I'm like, I don't think we needed it at all. I'm still going to watch it, obviously. But, and it looks good for what it is.
I mean, it definitely.
I just don't.
Yeah. It definitely feels too late because she's dead. So like, yeah. If you're going to do it, it would have been before she's dead. That would have been great. But
yeah.
But I do, I mean, I think it looks, like you said, like, it looks good for what it is, right? It looks like it'll be like a fun or interesting action thriller type thing, and I do love Florence Pugh a lot, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Richard who described it as like a, it looks like basically the MCU's Mission Impossible.
Which right.
Is like, yeah, okay. Yeah, and Florence Pugh looks like she's going to be the new Black Widow. Like, mm-hmm. We're going to get Yelena, and she's going to replace Black Widow and or Natasha in our story. Which is
right.
Cool, because I do like her a lot. But,
and
yeah.
If she does become the Black Widow and is in future movies, then that will be, you know, it'll all be worth it.
They should have done it a while ago. And we understand now why they didn't. Like, we know who to blame.
Yes.
So, and at least because of that circumstance, we know that if Black Widow doesn't do very well because nobody cares, they won't be like, well, no more female superhero movies. So, like, at least we have that. Like, I don't have to feel guilty if I don't care and don't go to see it because.
Right.
But,
yeah.
I would have wanted it sooner. She was the one who would have made, like, it would have made sense to do her first, minus what Valerie said, because I'm with Valerie. The point is that you don't know a lot about her. And if you are, I mean, you could do a Black Widow standalone movie. It doesn't have to be her backstory, though. Like, they could have done that. They could have had her going off on an adventure and not given her the whole story. And they had a time to do that and they missed that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just don't care.
Yeah. I did read, like, somebody's, you know, idea of what this could be. And I was like, well, that would be interesting, but I don't think that's what it is. Which was like, basically, the fact that it takes place, you know, between Civil War and Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that, you know, like, now, all this time, she's been protected by S.H.I.E.L.D. and then the Avengers. And now she's not. And the Black Widow program is still going. And they're after her. Because she has no protection. And I was like, that was an interesting story. That's absolutely not what they're doing.
Yeah.
But that would have been an interesting story.
Even if that had been an interesting story, we know that she would have gotten out of that okay, because we know we see her later.
Right.
So it just doesn't. I mean, if you have a character that everyone really, really loves and just inherently wants to see go on adventures, then you don't care that this movie doesn't contribute anything in terms of, like, plot moving forward.
Mm.
But that's never what Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow has been. My favorite Black Widow so far is the one, I forget the actress's name and the character's name, but the one that was in Agent Carter.
Oh, yeah. I just remember her as Rose from Jane the Virgin.
She was fun. I liked her.
But yes, I love that one, too.
Yeah, that was that was a fun story. I wish we'd gotten more of it, just because I wish we'd gotten more of Agent Carter. But, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, I think it'll do fine, and it'll be fine, because it's a Marvel movie and it's got a good cast minus Scarlett Johansson. Not that Scarlett Johansson can't act, just that I don't like her. And and otherwise, it's kind of forgettable, probably. Probably is my guess, my prejudgment.
I think they've said that there is going to be like a point to why they're making the movie, even though we know she's already dead. I think I read that somewhere.
That point would probably be them teasing the fact that there's going to be a new Black Widow.
Yeah, probably. That's probably all it is.
I think I've read, like, I was like, this will explain why she makes the decision she does in, you know,
oh, yeah,
Endgame. I'm like, I needed an explanation. I think I know why.
You're not digging yourselves out of that hole.
Yeah, Marvel. Exactly.
We already got an explanation. It wasn't a very good one, but we got one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, how about Wonder Woman 1984?
That one looks like fun.
It does look fun.
Batshit. Yeah. I do have to agree, though, that, like, a friend of mine said something about how he wishes if they were going to go back and tell a story between, like, for her that's a backstory again.
Mm-hmm.
He wishes they'd done, like, they did World War I with the first one. Why didn't they now do World War II? Or any of the other millions of things that are happening between World War I and modern day, instead of jumping her all the way to the 1980s.
It does feel...
It just feels,
yeah, the 1984 does feel random, but since the trailer leaned so much into the cheese of the 80s, I was like, oh, well, I don't care now. Because it's fun. Like,
yeah.
World War II movie had been so fun? Probably not. So.
I don't know. I guess maybe it'll have something to do with, like, Cheetah. That's her name, right? Cheetah and whatever storyline she's going to have. Somehow tied to the 80s. But I'm
sure they're going to do stuff, like, with the Cold War. Like, that's always going to be part of the story.
That makes sense.
I'm scared about Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What explanation can there possibly be, short of him also having, like, eternal youth, that won't just hurt Diana again? And, like, I think that, sad as for them the ending was in the first one, it was, like, fitting and it was, like, good, and I'm like, but why are you gonna hurt us in the same way a second time? Like, that's not necessary.
And you know it has to end badly because she's all sad in Batman versus Superman / the beginning of Wonder Woman, right? So, like, she's sad.
The first part of the trailer, I was like, is she hallucinating? Is she seeing him, but he's not actually there? But then he seems to interact with things. So it's like,
yeah.
Well, that was the case in that, you know, last Christmas movie, too. Apparently he interacted with things. And yet he was still not, well, spoilers. Does anybody care?
What? What is this last Christmas thing?
It's that Netflix movie with Emilia Clarke and... I can't remember the actor's name.
Henry Golding from
Crazy Rich. That's a Netflix movie?
No, it's not. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Is it?
Wait, say it again.
He's not real in that movie?
Supposedly not.
What?
I think everybody speculated that before anyway, but...
That's so annoying. Okay, anyway.
More about it if you want to know what it actually is, but... Well, this is a tangent. It's a tangent. The point is, like, that could still be a red herring, him interacting with stuff in the trailer.
That's
like,
because then that would make sense if something's going on that she's, like, either something's happening and he's being projected to her, and she thinks he's there but he's not, or she's having some trauma and for some reason, 70 years later, she's imagining him.
Fine, and Patty Jenkins said that it was going to make sense to the plot, like, they weren't looking to bring him back, but it just naturally coalesced in the writer's room or whatever, but I'm like, you could write it into the plot and it could work in the plot, but is that the only possible way to have a plot? Like, I just don't know why you have to hurt me twice. Like, I don't. Twice. Like, that's my biggest thing. I don't want to watch Diana be sad two times. Mm. Like,
yeah.
So.
I don't know, but I think that hopefully for the most part, it'll just be a grand old time and then we'll just be sad again. Like in the first movie when we were like, oh, what a great two acts. And then the movie just stopped. And there was no third act.
There was no third act. Yes, there you go. That is how it should have ended. We just never got the conclusion.
They are, at least the trailer is leaning into the cheese more. And if you do that, you can get away with more loose writing. So
that's true. That's true. And the 80s are just a decade that makes you think of cheese, I guess. So
it is true. Okay, I actually am going to jump now because we're talking about the 80s. It feels like we should actually go to Ghostbusters next.
Okay.
So we'll do that.
Change my list.
Okay.
So did you guys watch the Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer?
Yes.
I did not, but I trust that it is what I think it is.
I was pleasantly surprised in some ways. It's not as funny as I would have expected, which could just be, you know, the times have changed. Like, they're playing up certain things. It's still funny, and it's probably still going to be a funny movie. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm actually intrigued, and I was not at all looking forward to this movie.
I feel like if the other Ghostbusters didn't exist, and I forget what tagline they ended up giving the other Ghostbusters movie. I don't know. Anyway, if that didn't exist, I would feel much more like you do. But, like, there's just... It leaves a bad taste in my mouth, given the backlash the first, like, the other one got.
Right,
and this one feels very much like, well, this one, everyone's going to accept because it's, like, paying so much homage. Like, if we are not worshiping on the altar of the fanboys' nostalgia, then they're going to be angry. And so this one is loud because it's doing that. Especially because the element of, like, the children are so much more involved in it. So it felt very much like wish fulfillment. Like, and I know who the director is and I know who he's the son of, like, I get it, but, like, it's very much like, well, these men who were terrible about the other Ghostbusters movie were idolizing something from their childhood that wasn't as perfect in terms of the weaknesses that the other Ghostbusters had. You couldn't entirely absolve the original of similar weaknesses because they saw it as kids and there's nothing could ever possibly touch that, right? And so this movie is just totally fan service for them in terms of that, because now the child that you want to be interacting with that movie the way that you wanted to be, like, interacting with, here you get, we're pandering directly to you. You get to, like, become a child again and experience this movie through these children going through it, like, and it just, so that just all rubs me the wrong way. If they hadn't had the other movie and it hadn't been received the way that it was, yeah, I would actually be really interested in it. And so is it entirely fair to criticize this movie on the basis of that? Maybe, but also maybe not, because you're not going to entirely convince me that at least some of the people behind this movie aren't mad about the other one. And so sorry, that was a lot. It just left me.
It's all right.
No, but even that, I just watched the trailer, and even, like, the comments are, you know, basically like, oh, this is so much better than the SJW garbage that we got last time. And also the trailer itself, I don't know if it's just because Finn Wolfhard is there, but I'm like, is this just Stranger Things? But with
it
ghosts?
Is totally. It is 100%. Like, but Stranger Things is an homage to the 80s and those movies anyway. I mean, they even have them in the second season in the costumes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of full circle, I guess. Yeah, it's hard because it's like I didn't see the last movie, not because I was like, obviously I don't have a problem with it being a bunch of women this time, but I have a problem with reboots, and I am sick of reboots, and I said at the time, and I still feel this way, all they had to do with that movie was don't make it a reboot, make them a franchise, same fucking universe. You don't even have to have any of the stuff from the first movie, but just be like, they're a franchise. And actually, because of the way that this story goes, it shows even better how cool it could have been if they had done that, because it's like, you could have used the same story where there haven't been any ghosts, so they're the shittiest franchise because there's nothing to fight. And then all of a sudden, there's ghosts and they're important and they're the last franchise. They're like the last defense. And that could have been really fun. But it was making it a reboot that killed it for me. Like, I mean I do know people who liked it, but what I've heard from those people, it doesn't sound like something I would enjoy. I don't know, so I'm not, you know, I have like 800 other things that, you know, obviously I don't have the same you know, but yes, then it pissed me off because then I felt bad about not seeing it just because of stupid asshole trolls on the internet. But, you know, it just, yeah, but I was like, it made me sad because we, even Matt, it was the same thing. It was like, oh, that that last movie could have been so, really cool if this is what they had done with it. Like, instead, right. Just make it in the same universe and then do this story as opposed to, we have to restart the whole thing.
Yeah, I agree about making it the same universe for sure. But yeah.
But then it is like, why are they making this one again? Like, it is kind of like, does it need to keep being told? I guess it just, I don't know. That's just why it bothers me. Because you're right. Like, you're right about everything you said about the other one. But it is, you can't change the fact that it exists. And you can't, like, and so then this version is not going to exist in a vacuum either. And it does raise the question about, like, no matter what you do, you're going to elicit those comparisons. And did this story need to be told so badly that it was, like, worth further dumping on this thing? Like,
right.
And giving people all this justification for all the ways that they felt.
Which, I actually can't remember which studio is it.
I don't know.
I was about to check, but then my phone is dying and I don't want to type on the computer.
I mean, surely, like, the same studio owns the rights, they're not just gonna, like, give it away, right? Like, I would assume it's the same studio behind all of them.
Well, I just mean, is it, like, if, depending on which studio it is, do they desperately need something, and they're just, like, hoping to...
So much! They're like, we don't care, we'll sell our soul for money, because, you know, capitalism.
Yes. Because, like, I mean, you know, that's why we got yet another Terminator movie, even though, god damn it, they can't make any good ones, but it's because Paramount are in serious trouble. And they have very little IP, and they're just trying desperately to cling to anything, and then that movie bombed. So
now they've got to do it the way that'll get it money.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, yeah, that could be, that's always a factor, because people want to, you know, because building on nostalgia can be beneficial. And you think it's a sure thing when it's something that was so popular and that, you know, people still love,
right?
So I don't know, but I like going back to the actual trailer. I really like the way they included Spengler. Like, that was, you know, that, and I like that. So basically, he's the only one that's actually, like, well, besides that quick, like, really crappy video, he's the only one of the original. We know they're all in the movie,
yeah,
but he's the only one who's actually talked about, and I think that's really sweet. I really like that hit me in the feels. Yeah, so, you know, I'm still wary, because I don't know, I'm wary of everything at this point.
I think they could, like, have maybe soothed some ruffled feathers a little bit if they put more women in it.
Yeah,
if they just done that, then I maybe be a little less pissed off, but
you know, that is fair. Yeah.
But I'm in the same boat as you. I mean, I went to see the other one when it was much easier for me to go see movies. Right now, it's, like, difficult for me to even figure out how to see Star Wars. Yeah. So right. I don't know that I'm ever going to get around to this one. If it shows up on Netflix, then I'll probably watch it.
I mean, Ghostbusters has just not been, like, something in my life. Yeah. So I've seen the original, like, the first one, just, like, at some, like, school event. I think it was filmed, part of it was filmed at Columbia, maybe? Is that true? Columbia University?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they showed it at, like, a event, and that's why I saw the first one. Seen if there's a second one, I guess. I haven't seen the second one. And then I only saw the latest one, the 2016 one, like, accidentally, because, like, I was, you know, in town. My friends were like, we're going to go see Ghostbusters because we're going to support them. And I was like, okay, I'm going also. So I don't have any connection to Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters was a mom's night out movie for me. Like, the sledcast, like, let's go look at Chris Hemsworth. And he just disappoint.
Okay, so Egon Spengler was my first crush.
Aww.
Yeah. Like, literally, I remember being in love with him when I was, like, what, 6? I don't know. I grew up with the movies, and, like, we had the toys, and we played with them, and we actually did, like, there was the meme going around where it was, like, 10, just put 10, like, images from movies that affected your life in some way, without an explanation, and I did put Ghostbusters in there.
Aww.
So, yeah, and then, like, when I took Matt to New York for the first time, we ended up realizing we were staying in the hotel, in a hotel that you could see in it, and we went to a bunch of the locations and stuff. So I was the right age, and we grew up with it.
I mean, I grew up with it too, and when I found out in college that John hadn't seen it, it was like inconceivable to me that somebody had it. And I actually, because I was the right age that as a little kid, I actually saw the terrible 90s cartoon, the Saturday morning Ghostbusters cartoon, before I saw the movies, because I was like five, you know.
I used to watch that cartoon. Making that cartoon.
So, like, before the movie was appropriate for me, that. So, and yeah, we had the little, the trap thing and everything. So, yeah. All the Slimer merchandise, again, because I was like five.
Yeah.
And he's more like, not cuddly, but friendly, I guess, in the cartoon.
In the cartoon, he's not so menacing. Yeah. I remember the cartoon was terrible, but I loved it.
All the cartoons I liked when I was five were terrible. Yeah. Like, none of them hold up. So
it's funny. But yeah, so I'm still skeptical, but we'll see. I'll give it a shot, I think, now. Which is better. So anyway. Yeah.
We had like optimism and pessimism and like neutrality.
And let's go to possibly problematic. I don't know, like, how it's going to turn out. Mulan, not problematic because of the movie,
right?
Because of the stuff around the movie,
right? I mean, yes, decided, the look amazing.
I mean, the situation in Hong Kong is still bad.
Yes,
bad. But like, again, like, I don't know what, like, Disney can't do anything about it, so I don't really know that. And I also don't think that any. For a boycott to get Disney's attention, it would have to be, like, huge. Like, huge.
Yeah. I also think it happened too early, like, you know, the incident, for it to really affect when the movie comes out, I think. Well, I think most people...
It's not even just what's already happened. I think people are wary because it looks like China might try and use it as propaganda. Mm. And we're like the actors who are in it, who are in China, use them, and that, I think that's what people are worried about still, is that this could become a problem in that way.
Well, and Disney's pandering, like, really frighteningly to China over a number of different things, and like
everybody is.
Doesn't need, which everybody is, you're right, but like of everyone who's pandering to China, Disney is the one with the most money. So it's like, Disney, you were can most afford to lose some China money. Like, I'm sorry, like, you can. You don't need that China money. You're fine. So, like,
and on the flip side, they can also probably afford to market it to China like that, and then China make the money for them, even if people boycott it here. So
it's true. China is the bigger market at this point.
Yeah.
I grew up, my dad went, he did a Disney boycott for a little while, and so I can tell you, it doesn't, Disney weathers all these boycotts, so that's why I'm like, I really don't know that. I can understand people on the ground in Hong Kong right now being like really, really frustrated and scared and everything, but like, I don't, the size of the movement would have to be bigger than the like Bible Belt boycotting Disney in the 90s, and that didn't really hurt Disney. So although it might explain reason why they're still so gun shy about representation in their movies, but anyway, I don't know that we need to feel bad, because I don't know that it would do any, I really don't think it would do anything.
I don't feel bad for Disney. They don't need the money, but I feel bad for the people involved with it and people who are attached to it, that if China are going to make it this big political thing, and it's like, it's hard because it is their story, but then obviously communist China is terrible, so you don't want to, like,
if you feel bad about this, everybody, we have the we actually have actual legislation coming out of Congress about, you know, supporting Hong Kong and stuff, so like, call your people and support that and tell them to push more on that. Like, that would, I think, if some futile effort is going to be more effective, it's gonna be that one. So
that's true, that is a point. Anyway, moving beyond the politics of it, what about the trailer itself?
It looks so good.
The trailer looks good. It looks really good. And I like that you could hear, like, instrumental, you know, versions of the songs.
Yeah.
So there you go, compromise. But, but yeah, I mean, I think... I mean, I think
about the songs being cut out, and yet after the not even the first half of the movie, that's it. Like, there's really only two maybe three big songs from
Hawk. Things get serious after that.
I mean, it's good, but in terms of, like, you compare, like, Little Mermaid or Beauty and the Beast or Aladdin, or, like, it's part of the film as a whole, whereas Mulan actually wasn't that. For all that everybody loves, let's get down to, you know, make a man out of you. It doesn't have the same importance to the film that other Disney musicals have.
That's true. I mean, I don't know that any of the songs have importance to the film. Like, that's in terms true. Of, like, I think you take out any songs and you'll still have a film.
Yeah.
But they are, like, because you still have, like, the I Want song, the Reflection song, you know, and then you have, like, the training montage song, whatever. You have the songs that you need to have. It's just, I guess, about how iconic those songs are. I don't know. I think the Mulan songs are iconic, but that's because Mulan was, like, right, that was, like, my, like, formative Disney experience. So I'm like, how can you take them? But, like, Cinderella didn't have songs, right? The live-action version of Cinderella didn't have songs.
Yeah.
No, and and it was good. So, you know, of course, again, Cinderella songs. I don't even know what they are. What did Cinderella have songs?
Two? No, I got two.
Okay. I don't know. I'll tell you. But
it's been a really long time since I've watched Cinderella.
No, there's three. I'm like, okay, the more I think about it, the more I can come up with. That's a sidetrack too. Like,
there you go. You know, if you're not attached to it, then it's fine. So as long I think that Mulan, the movie, will be good, and I'm excited. I think the only, like, people were having issues with, like, the accents, and, like, you know, but what are you gonna do with that, right? Either you have everyone speak Chinese and new subtitles, or you're gonna have messed up accents. Like, there's no other.
I mean, I like your point about the live action Cinderella, because it's how I felt about all of these Disney live action movies. Like, I really am not a huge fan of the live action Beauty and the Beast. Like, blow by blow live action remake of an animated film. We're not even going to get into Lion King. We're
God.
It's not contributing anything.
Right. And, so you want to be different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even Dumbo was totally, different.
Oh, God. Not in a good way. But it was totally different.
It made choices. All right, it made choices.
That's true.
It stand on its own 2 feet, even if.
Yeah,
it looks really good. Like, it is digging. I love the different fantastical elements that are in it. I love the female character, and that she seems to, rather than just being, I mean, again, the tiny bits that we're getting from a trailer, right?
Yeah,
and just being, like, your negative witch archetype. I like that her relationship in the movie seems to be with Mulan as well. Like, it's going to be them, and having, like, getting to have antagonistic female relationships that aren't just stereotypical antagonistic female relationships are really cool. That's really cool. Like, they both get to be, like, well fleshed out characters. It can be really interesting when still the main villain is, like, if they're the ones with the most development, like,
right,
like that. Yeah, so
I like it.
I was like, "Where's my eye candy? Where's the not Shang?"
That's the biggest offense to me, that they couldn't just make him Shang. Come on, just let him be Shang.
There's no reason. It's because I feel like there was an original version of the script floating around where he was, like, a white dude.
Yeah, I had heard about that.
And so, for some reason, they were like, maybe copy pasted a Chinese name over top of the white dude's name.
Oh, I don't know, but
we don't know. They're not. They're, like, hiding it. I'm a little suspicious that they're hiding it. I was like, badly, did you mess this part up? But who cares? Because it's Mulan's story, so
yeah, that's true.
Care on a superficial level. That's not important. So
yeah, Matt has never seen the original because he's not seen most, like, Disney movies since he left childhood. And he is still, you know, really interested. So
yeah,
I'm excited that. Yeah. A broader spectrum of people. Somebody who'd never see Disney movies otherwise.
John would
just because he likes Asian kung fu.
I mean, it just looks like a really cool things. Like war epic, you know, starring a badass lady or two badass ladies.
A Chinese Mulan movie a number of years ago.
Yeah, it was a Legend of Fa Mulan, wasn't it?
Yes, I think that we watched it. It was good.
Yeah,
it didn't have the fantasy elements in it, so this one is setting itself apart and, like,
right.
that other way as well. So that's cool. Like, there's space for all of it. So
yeah,
I totally forgot when I made the original list. Did you guys watch the In the Heights trailer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited.
It looks really good.
Yes, it does. I'm so happy.
It's cold. I don't know anything about it. I'm not like a huge. Yeah, I'll go and see, like, I like musicals, but I'm not like, it was too much work where I lived to go see them with it.
And they make musicals so inaccessible. Like, if you can't see it live, it's like, why can't you just sell recordings of it? What is wrong with you?
And I'm not going to go and buy a soundtrack and try to piece together a story from the soundtrack and just be mad because I can only. So I don't live that life much, but when I can see them, I like them and it looks really good.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we have access to them because obviously we're in LA and they tour, but it's prohibitively expensive.
Yeah.
So even I had never heard of In the Heights until obviously Hamilton, and it was talked about because of that, but I didn't know anything about the story until I watched that trailer.
I think In the Heights came out, or at least was in the height of its run, when I was in New York, when I was living in. So I saw it twice. On Broadway. I saw it once with Lin-Manuel as, you know, the main character, as was Navi. And then I saw it with Corbin Bleu from High School Musical. It was with Navi. But yeah, it was my favorite musical before Hamilton. So now Hamilton is my favorite musical. And In the Heights is like second. Although maybe Les Mis might be in there too. So maybe it's third. But whatever. It's definitely in like the top five. I love In the Heights. Cool. And I think it's like, you know, obviously when it came out, at least to my knowledge, it was very rare to have a fully like Latin American cast story, other than like West Side Story, which is like not written by people who understand Latin America or Spanish. So In the Heights is superior and happier, in case you're worried about that, you know. It's not a West Side Story situation. It is just a nice, happy story. In the Heights. It looks good. The cast looks good.
It does. It looks really good. I mean,
it sounds great. I trust Lin-Manuel, so.
Yeah.
Cool. And then our last trailer was Miss Fisher. What's the full name of the movie?
Oh, no. This is my job.
Mysteries.
I forgot to write it down.
Oh. Miss Fisher and the Crypt of Tears.
There you go, the Crypt of Tears.
I just wanted to give it a quick plug because, like, over a year ago I mentioned it in the podcast, and I promised that when there was more info about it, I would be there. And here it is. The trailer's out, although it's, like, I tried to link you guys a couple times before I found one that worked. Like, for some reason, it's, like, geo-locked, or they're pulling all the trailers down, and I don't understand why. Like, this, I guess, the network or the studio, the Australian studio, is like, only for us. But I'm like, you crowdfunded this presumably from around the world. Like, presumably all of your money did just come from Australia, and you're not going to let a trailer be on YouTube? Like,
Yeah,
that's really weird.
How is that hurting you? Like, did it leak before it was supposed to?
Maybe that's what it is.
I can't find anything about that, but it's out and it looks good. It's just like a 20s romp. I mean, that's what Miss Fisher the series is like.
Right. So, I still plug for Miss Fisher the series, so like I feel kind of bad about that because I was like, yes, I'm gonna watch, and then I never did. but the movie looks like so much fun. Yeah, it looks like a Downton Abbey murder mystery.
It is. It's the Downton Abbey murder mystery, like a very forward, progressive, like female character who like doesn't care, just does what she wants, and it's amazing.
I did appreciate the line of the, you know, like, you don't follow the rules, and it's like, it's because they were written by men or whatever exactly it was.
Yes,
I was like,
yes.
Fourth episode of the first season of Miss Fisher, she's got like an Asian American, or not Asian Australian, I guess, love interest.
Really.
And like busting out her like 1920s like contraceptives and stuff.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I was like, Miss Fisher. So yeah, it's fun. It's a romp. It's gonna be like a 1920 kind of like if from The Mummy, the main character from The Mummy was not like solved mysteries initially rather than be a librarian, was just like a little bit more
maybe
had a little bit of a harder edge to her. Mm-hmm. Slightly. A little bit less wide-eyed, a little bit harder. More like Evie from movie 2. But yeah. Like, kind of like that. But like that sort of romp in that same time period. And I think they are going to... They're in some Saharan or desert setting briefly in this movie. Huh. So...
I mean, it's very Agatha Christie, obviously, too.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. That's not a bad thing.
That is cool.
It looks fun. Now we just
want to give it.
Yeah, and now we just have to hope it actually comes out here. If they won't even let us watch the freaking trailer,
I'm hoping. I'm just hoping. Like I've made up in my head that it was like leaked early, and that's why like nobody can see it. I mean, maybe if you supported it, you get access to these things, and they're being weird. Maybe it was like early access to this trailer only for some.
Oh, maybe.
Just plugging in. I did not give money to it, so I don't know. But.
Traitor.
well, we can hope, and yeah. Then we'll just have to, you know, keep track of it, and when it
exactly
does eventually make its way, I'm sure it'll make its way here. It just may not get like a big run. It'll be in like art houses or something.
Yeah,
or on Netflix.
Well, I want it to be on Netflix like the rest of the series is.
No, that makes sense. If the rest of it isn't one, then why not the movie?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's hope so. So then we can watch it. The rest of the series is on Netflix here. Now I do want to go watch it.
It was a year ago. I haven't watched it in a while. But it used to all be on Netflix, yes. So
I'm looking.
Hope that it still is.
Tatiana's I hope looking.
I am looking. I hope your face still is. Miss Fisher.
Okay, it's there.
Cool.
Yay. No, oh, wait. It's not on for me, actually. It's not here.
Oh.
So German Netflix has it.
Yeah.
Twist.
Instead, what? I get Father Brown, Agatha and the Truth of Murder, Call the Midwife, The Good Witch, Sherlock, and Hinterland, and the Great British Freaking Baking Show.
I wonder if it's like on Acorn or something.
Oh, you know what? It is on Acorn. I definitely saw a trailer for it on Acorn.
So. Isn't Acorn British stuff?
Not necessarily. BritBox is pretty much all BritBox. I think Acorn does Canadian as well.
Oh, and then Australian, apparently. Okay. That's what Miss Fisher is.
Yeah.
There we go.
So, we're going to do another Disney problematic story. Moving off the trailers.
Please don't hate us.
Somebody please make the Star Wars cast stop talking. That's the moral of the story, today's story.
I mean, speaking of Disney, like, problematic, and Disney's problematic because they have all the resources, like, train your people.
I know.
Right. What is going on here?
They literally assigned other actors to, like, follow Tom Holland around and, like, shut him up when necessary. So it might be that DEFCON level for the Star Wars cast at this point.
It really does feel like it, because, okay, so first... Daisy Ridley denied her privilege and said that she was just the same as John Boyega. As a woman who grew up, her grandfather has an OBE, which means he was knighted by the queen or the king. I don't know which one would have done it, but and he was like the head of the BBC. But she got a scholarship to go to her theater school, guys. That's the same as a grant, which, you know, scholarships are like, you got, it's not the same. And no, John Boyega grew up on the council estate, which is, you know, like, they're free housing for people who have no money and are terrible. So, yeah, so apparently, but that makes them the same, and they've struggled the same. It's just, it was just one of those, and the sad thing is the journalist that interviewed her tried to let her redirect, being like, you didn't mean what you just said. And she just doubled down on it. And it was like, oh, God, stop talking.
Yeah, I mean, like, just the total lack of awareness about, or not even, I don't think it's even awareness, because I think that the question was asked about her privilege, and she immediately related herself to John. So she knows what is being said, you know?
Yes.
And yet she's like, no, we're the same. I don't see color. I only see attendance at drama schools.
I mean, I could... If I'm trying to be sympathetic to her, which, you know, white women don't need people to keep trying to be so sympathetic to us. But, like, if I was, like, I could see where she wouldn't want to... They're already hyper-worried about their words being twisted, right? And so she doesn't want to, like, come out and say something that could be twisted as her saying that she's, like, above him or better than him in some way because they are friends, and so she sees them like friends on the same level. But then just say, like, you could easily just say something like, you don't want to speak to his experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, you know that yours were different from, we had some experiences that were different, and I just don't want to speak for him.
But the thing is, like, no one asked her to actually talk about him. It was literally, like, your privilege. Talk about your privilege. And she's like, John and I are the same.
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh, see, that's really like, bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. But it's because weird because I don't really see that many people talking about it. Like, I posted something on Facebook because, you know, I have my friends do the Star Wars line at the Chinese. Like, I know a lot of people who were really obsessed with Star Wars, and none of them were talking about it. And I put it on Facebook, and no one said anything. And I was like, guys, this looks bad because you're not.
I feel like they just got swallowed up in other news. You know, it's just kind of like, it wasn't like she said anything like specifically Scarlett Johansson-y, I guess. So they were just like, oh, moving on. And then, you know, John came along and said his own thing, and that had to be its own
thing. Yeah, then John implied that Kelly Marie Tran was weak for not being able to take the trolls who drove her off the internet.
Yeah. I mean, he came online and apologized and was like, I was talking about my own experience. I would never say that about Kelly. You know, everything I've said in support of Kelly in the past still stands. But it is like, because in that one, the question, unless, of course, they rewrote the question to include Kelly and they didn't actually say Kelly to him with their mouths.
Well, I think Matt said there's a video of it.
Oh, there is a video? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. But yeah, so like the fact that the question includes Kelly.
But I didn't
Kelly,
watch it, so I don't know exactly. But
you know? And then for him to be like, oh, well, you know, I just, like, weak people that just believe everything, you know, that they read. And I guess the other thing, but he didn't say this either. Like, the other way that I would try to defend him is if what he meant was weak people who read about other people and then believe everything about other people, you know? But I don't think so. I think he really meant, like, you start to believe what people say about you because you're weak, which is, you know.
Even if you just used a different word than weak. Like just different personality types. Like I don't care as much.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always like,
Or if you were just like, I know that it's easy to believe what you read, and then you know they let that affect you. But I just don't. I just ignore it to begin with. That's how I deal with it.
Yeah.
Because that's what he was saying. What he was saying is like, I don't even bother. Like I just like they're saying some shit, and that shit's not about me because it's not true. Therefore, I'm ignoring it. So, like, that's fine. But then to be, like, you know, weak people believe it. And she's before said, like, that the problem was, like, the reason why she deleted her Instagram was because she would read it and start to believe what they say about her. So.
And all of this makes me so sad because, like, there's so much less Rose this time around. Like, we're not seeing Kelly in all the interviews. She was barely in the trailer. The, like, trio's back together, as they should have been from the beginning, so some of that might be course correction. Mm-hmm. But it's just really hard to feel like she hasn't just been hung out to dry.
Right.
By all of this. Like,
I'm wondering if she's going to have a storyline with Naomi Ackie's character. Because they put them together for the press interviews, Naomi and Kelly, and it seems like they got along really well. So I'm like, maybe they are, whatever their characters are, having a storyline. Whatever. Naomi, Naomi Ackie, it's Jana. I don't know how to say it.
I know, because there's also the issue of like, speaking of them being back together and stuff, that they're talking openly about supposed concerns that they had with The Last Jedi.
Yeah,
which is also problematic because like it's hard. Some of the stuff that they're saying contradicts like. Supposedly, JJ's criticizing it, whereas before the movie came out, Greg Grunberg, who is his best friend, who he puts in everything, came out and said JJ read the script for The Last Jedi and loved it so much he wished he were directing it. So, but now it's like, well, now I have to distance myself, and
right.
And there are people who are saying that some of the points that the cast are making make sense, but then some of them seem to come down to, I wanted to be in a scene with Luke and I wasn't. And it's like, it is a middle story. Even Luke and Leia and Han weren't together for like most of Empire.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I've seen people been like, well, they split the cast up and that's not how it was in the original. I'm like, yes, it was.
It's like, yeah.
That's exactly what Empire was.
My issue is less the split, yeah, and more that it felt like they were just like running in circles.
Oh yeah. But my concern about the way some people are talking about, like, the cast and crew Rise of Skywalker talking about Last Jedi, I get that maybe they're trying to, like, get everybody back who was angry about the Last Jedi, but, like, from a writing perspective, you're making it sound like this entire movie is just course correction, and that's not the way the ending of a trilogy needs to be. Like, even if you didn't like the hand that you were dealt, you have to, like, just take what it is and finish it well. Like, you're telling a round robin story at this point. That's how the powers that be decided to make this to begin with.
Right.
And you don't, like, you can't just, you don't have the time in this movie to throw everything out.
Yeah.
And start over again.
Like, it's obviously, like, the PR move they've chosen, right? But if you're wanting to do a PR move to, like, get people back, but also, you know, not take a dump on your previous film and previous director, wouldn't you just be like, it's going to make everything worth it. You know, you're going to get to the end and you're going to see the whole story, right? The whole story is a beautiful whatever. Don't be like, The Last Jedi was garbage.
I really wanted to find, and I had a hard time finding it, reviews of Empire from when it came out. And I was like, because that is the closest we can really come. Like, all of us, we grew up seeing these movies together. We can't reflect upon a story still in progress in the same way. We can't compare it to the original because it's all one complete thing. And I was like, Mark Hamill said something once after Last Jedi about, like, Empire was not as well received when it came out as everybody feels about it now.
Yep.
So, like, I mean, not like, I don't know that Last Jedi is ever going to be an Empire Strikes Back, but... Like, let's
be... but it's hard because I agree. I feel like they're telling us they're course correcting, and it's like one of the. I have a lot of problems with. I'm not a fan of the sequels, right? I think they're better than the prequels, but I'm not really a fan of them. I don't really like some of the choices they've made, but whatever. I'm still watching them, and I still plan to see Rise of Skywalker, although it's going to probably be 3 weeks after it comes out, and I'm probably going to spoil myself on the entire thing. But one of the things I did like. Although, obviously, the way it played out wasn't good, but that's, I think, part of the storytelling, and that's fine. But one of the things I did like was that we find out that Rey is not somebody. She's not Kenobi's daughter or granddaughter or whatever. She's not another Skywalker. Like, she's just a person. And I liked that, and I am 100% positive JJ is going to change that. And that's the main reason that I don't even, like... I don't care that I'm not saying it for 3 weeks and that I'm going to spoil myself. And in fact, there are already rumors of spoilers that have leaked, and I've already spoiled myself on stuff, and I'm not looking forward to this movie.
It's a combination of that and Palpatine being back that has me in the same boat as you.
Yeah.
Like, those two things together, I'm like, okay.
I assume Anakin's
going to be amazing, but... Oh, Anakin, no!
I assume... I'm on, which at least with that, the Anakin was the chosen one. It is overall his story. So him being back in some way, I think it's just gonna be Force Ghost, but like it's, you know, it's not like they bring him back.
Yeah, him come back, especially to put Kyle in his place, I would like cheer. Like that'd be amazing. Yeah. But the two of them together, I'm just like, it does feel like you were going in different directions, The Last Jedi, and we all had our reasons why we didn't like those different directions, but the solution to that problem is not just to retreat entirely into what's familiar and bring all the more of the gang back and placate everyone. Like, that's not...
Yep. So yeah, I will spoil myself completely on this movie, because I'm like, I think I need the warning of what's to come.
I shall let you know everything that happens, then.
Do that, yes. Yeah,
but yeah,
just send me text messages when I'm in Germany and I'll be like, there we go.
I'm just like feeling very neutral about it. Like, I'm gonna see it, obviously. I hope it has a good ending, but right now it's like both the fact that I hated The Last Jedi and the fact that the press tour has so far been disastrous just have me like, I'm good. I don't really care. So
yeah,
we'll see. Hopefully they change my mind with the actual film.
We can hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
One good sci-fi thing that you can watch that has so far been consistently awesome is dropping on Amazon today is season 4 of The Expanse, which it's been like, what, a year and a half or something?
Yeah, right. It's been a long time.
It's my parents' absolute favorite show. My mom doesn't... Well, my parents really, but especially my mom doesn't watch things over and over and over again. Like, I do that, but they don't do that. But I swear to God, they've watched the show like 8 times. They love it that much. And it really is phenomenal. I've seen the first 6 episodes. I think there's 13 episodes this season. So I've seen the first 6, and it's really good. Apparently, this is a, like, for people who've read the books, this is a kind of divisive period of the show, because and I am gonna kind of talk spoilers, but not like, I won't get too serious into them, but there's a part where there's a planet involved. They find another habitable planet. They've basically got these ways to get to different parts of the universe, and so there's a whole like problem with this planet that mm-hmm. the proto molecule that's been their big adversary for the entire series was there before. And so the Rocinante and their crew are there trying to appease the Belters, who have illegally colonized this planet, whereas there's another crew that that have gotten permission of the UN and Mars, because supposedly those people can actually decide what to do with these planets that are out in the middle of nowhere anyway, that nobody has any claim over, right? They've given them actual permission. So there's a whole conflict between the three groups and what to do with it. But there's always the specter of the protomolecule, which is a billions of years old creation of a species that is apparently gone, but it's still doing, you know, it's still working to kind of change the universe to make it habitable for whatever this species was that's now gone, that's been wiped out, and they don't know what wiped them out. But it's really interesting because there's it's a lot of political stuff, and there's a lot of stuff about, you know, I've always talked about it. One of my favorite things is like the kind of entertainment that says something about your own world. So there is a lot of that. It's very heavy with that, but yeah. it's such a good show. And I love all the characters. And Shira I'm gonna get her name wrong, and I do this always. She plays the UN general. She is the best thing that ever happened to like any television. I don't know if you guys haven't watched this. I swear to God, she's hilarious and she's fantastic, because the way she talks is just, she's a person, and she curses like you wouldn't believe, and she's just real. And I swear to, I just watch the show for her like half the time. Like, I like everybody else, but she is the best part of the show.
I watched the first season and she was my favorite part. So
she's fantastic. She's so good. Yeah. Oh, spoiler. She's still alive.
I saw her in the trailer. So it's cool.
But yeah, so far out of the 6 episodes, it's great, and I'm really excited to watch the rest of it. And I'm just, you know, this is one of those few things that, like, well, thank you, Jeff Bezos, for being a fan of the show and giving your money to save it. Because that's, you know, he won't help his employees, but he will save a television program he likes to watch. So, which is funny, because I used to always joke that if I was a rich person, I'd be like, here, make another season of Firefly, make another season of Farscape, and all these things. And I'm like, well, Jeff Bezos just did that.
If anyone else can do it, it's him.
Yeah, and they've already got one more season confirmed, so at the very least. So watch it.
If as long as Jeff Bezos likes this show, it'll probably last forever.
I know, right? He's got the money, and if he wants to watch it, he can afford to throw the money at it.
He's like, Expanse gets a blank check.
Yeah. There you go, exactly. So, yes, I highly recommend it. It's very rewatchable as well. In fact, I want to go back and rewatch the first season. Start right from the beginning and rewatch it again. It's so good. So that's my plus on TV side. I don't know. Now, what do we think of the real big event this week, which was Crisis on Infinite Earths on the DC TV shows?
Tony's dislike, because you and I just tuned in randomly to watch Crisis, and I haven't even bothered.
I haven't watched the shows in like a year and a half. Although I did watch the crossover last year as well.
But yeah, y'all both did watch. Except Angela missed the first one, but that's okay.
It was intentional missing. You make it sound like you're around to it.
Angela stayed away from the first one. There you go. So what did we think?
It was fun. Cameos were fun. Like, the reasons I watched, I was happy. I wanted to just go in and see everybody be everybody, and like all these new interactions and whatever, and I got all of that. What the hell is up with Lex Luthor? I hate him. Why is he here?
He sucks, but Lena killed him last season on Supergirl, and then the Monitor plucked him out of, you know, oblivion. Because he was like, oh, there's still stuff he's got to do. Except the stuff he's done so far is, you know, be annoying and mess things up. But I guess that's what the Monitor wants, because the Monitor has a plan. And I'm like, wow, I wish the Monitor would explain his plan.
From a writing perspective, and to be fair, again, coming into this cold, like, I watched a couple episodes of Flash this season, that's all I got, is why does it have to be Luthor? Like, I have zero explanation so far for why Luthor is...
he's the right kind of mad, I guess. He's the right kind of like evil villain who does stuff for himself, but that stuff that he does for himself is something the Monitor wants to happen. That's why.
So like the first thing that he did was to like go kill a bunch of Supermans.
Yeah.
But that didn't add anything, because you were already getting all the other Clark Kent cameos because they were chasing around the Superman Paragon. So like you didn't also need Luke killing Superman.
I guess somehow led them to the one that they were supposed to kill. Somehow. Let's kill.
You could have had any other reason. Opposite. Like, they could have just been like, well, here we are. Hopefully it's this one. Like, literally it didn't. Yeah. You could have taken Luthor killing Superman's out, and that would have had zero effect.
Who would make Tyler Hoechlin and Brandon Routh fight? Who? Who would do that?
Some red that was just there.
Just there.
That was the entirety of the reason of that plot.
Yeah, and also because he steals the Book of Destiny, so because of him, we know what the Book of Destiny can do, and we have to assume that the good guys will use the Book of Destiny in the end.
Ubakara almost did, so again, like, I still see...
She almost used it because Lex stole it. But yeah. But no, yes, obviously we could take Lex out, but he is, like, that's one of the few things that is actually from the comic. So I'm not going to be mad that they actually stuck to something that was part of the story in the comics.
It's fair. I can't complain about that.
Because there's so few things that they actually do. Like, the way that they've done Pariah's story, I just want to, like, my hand is going to explode. I hate it so much. I don't understand why they did this. But, you know, positive things. I have enjoyed the cameos. And I think that, you know, if you're going to... Like, even though it's literally as they're all exploding and, like, ceasing to exist, it is, like, great to see just, like, how expansive the DC universe has been, right? Yeah. Like, this is how many iterations we have of these things. And, of course, the best one. Well, not necessarily, of course, this one. There's several best ones. But I loved Lois and Clark from Smallville, right? Getting to see them. And also getting to see that he gave up his powers, because, like, for 10 years, he's like, God, I really wish I didn't have to be Superman. I really wish I didn't have these powers. Yeah. And now we find out that he got rid of them. Yay! You did it, Clark!
Exactly what he wanted.
Exactly. So I really liked that. I also loved the Lucifer cameo. I was like, oh, wow, he fits so well.
That was great. Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Bring Lucifer in here.
Yeah.
Nobody knew about that one, right?
Hadn't had half of their team stop trying to bring Oliver back.
That was the negative. The attempts to bring Oliver back was so unnecessary. Yeah. Like,
the little bit that I've seen of Flash this season, the main driving thing has been everybody, Barry forcing everybody to cope for the fact that he's going to throw himself upon the pyre.
Yep.
And so for him immediately to be like, this is unacceptable. I mean, you could argue his martyr complex is just that big. Like,
he's been preparing for his own death, okay? Not for Oliver's death. But if he had checked in on Arrow this season, he would have known that Oliver was also preparing everyone for Oliver's death.
I mean, I don't care about Arrow, but where's Felicity?
She Why? Went into hiding so that Oliver's enemies would not kill her. And also because Emily Bett Rickards was like, I don't feel like it. I gotta go. So okay, that is her.
I like that a lot. But like the tiniest sliver that I know from Arrow, like, didn't she like raise her daughter and then go with the monitors so that she could be reunited with Oliver in the past or something?
Not in the past. So yes, in 2040, the monitor comes to get her so that she can be reunited with Oliver. But we don't know what that reunion is like. I'm assuming it's once Oliver is dead in the paradise dimension.
I saw that and I assumed that meant she was going to show up in Crisis, and then she hasn't, and I was confused. Okay.
No, she's
not
going
to be in Crisis, but she is in the final
season finale,
episode, right?
Of Arrow, yeah. Which will probably be like, look, Oliver in the afterlife, reunited with Felicity, or whatever.
Yeah, in the
Felicity, so that she can be reunited with him if he's in the afterlife.
Exactly.
In the Supergirl episode, like, Matt was like, when it's Oliver and Mia, Matt was like, I don't know who she is. I was like, yeah, I know. I was like, it's his daughter from the future. He's like, okay. Sure.
Daughter from the future. The monitors brought them back from the future so that, you know, as a final gift to Oliver or whatever. But then only his daughter could come and be in the crossover. His son is just chilling when I run his computer. Like, I don't know.
Give them the credit. Like, some of our complaints in the past, previous crossovers, is that, like, they've tried to cram so many people in there, they've never gotten their due. And yet, because this time, rather than trying to cram all of the DCT, like, current DCVT characters, they are bringing in past ones, but with that, you respect them just having, like, a scene, right?
Right, yeah.
And so, that's actually really worked really, really well, and clearly, like, sadly, for all these old DCTV actors, nobody's doing anything. They have the time to come do it, and so that's why, again, I'm like, we wasted this time with Oliver, you could have given me more cameos.
Yeah,
you can watch the cameos.
That's true. I really like
the cameo show.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny that we spent all season preparing for Barry's death, and then, you know, he didn't even fake die. It was the other Barry. The other Barry was like, "I'll do it."
That confuses me, because then if it was the other Barry Allen, why is there a Central City Citizen paper about him? Because Iris was like, the denizens of Central City wouldn't know who Earth 99 Barry Allen is.
It's because in the original timeline, it wasn't this. This isn't what happened. Okay. In the original timeline, it was 2024 when he disappears. Okay. And in the article, it says he disappears in a battle with the Reverse Flash.
Okay.
So, like, it's nothing. Nothing is the same. And then things changed. And Iris just assumed she would have to write this article because the monitor was like, and Barry's gonna die. But clearly the monitor doesn't know shit, because he was like, what? Oliver died already? I'm so confused. So the monitor does not know what is going on.
I've hated the monitor since the last crossover, but I was really a fan of seeing everybody else get pissed off with him, too.
Yeah.
Like, listen, asshole.
I did think it was funny that, like, you know, Oliver, when Oliver heard that that Barry was going to die, Oliver was like, we made a deal, Monitor. And Monitor was like, no, we already made that deal. It doesn't last anymore. Now you can just die. And Oliver's like, no, I'm going to die now. And then you're not going to let Barry and Kara die. I've made this deal again. Monitor's like, okay. I guess, sir. But anyway.
I do have to say, so I stopped watching, what, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago? I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I think you stopped at season 3.
Yeah, and then, but I did, because Matt watched last year's crossover, and he said it was good, I watched it with him, and I did enjoy that. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I'll watch Crisis, that's fine. This one, I just remembered why I don't watch these shows anymore. I like parts of it, but it's a bit too goofy and convoluted for my liking, I think. It was just too bad. But I love the cameos, and I do like seeing everybody together. That's fun.
I really have to ask. I'm talking to my parents tomorrow. I have to ask my dad about it, because he's still, like, stubbornly chipping away at most DCTV, even though it is way too convoluted for him, and he doesn't understand. He complains to us about it. But this is my dad, who, like, complained about watching Smallville. He complained about the teen drama in Smallville. Aww. Like, too much high school romance. And I was like, Dad, this is the WB. That's what this channel is.
Right. Like,
and he was like, so, I wonder if he watched this, and he must be very confused.
Speaking of romance, I think it's hilarious that the crossover gave us all of the West Allen kisses that the season would not. And I was like, because like this season, it's like been like Barry and Iris can barely be in a scene together, let alone, you know, do anything romantic or married. And so now it's like at the crossover, they actually got like, I think, 4 kisses so far. And I was like, how? How is this possible? Who okayed this?
I appreciate that they keep pushing it so over the top in terms of all these things, like, just destroying the entire worlds of, like, mm-hmm. ongoing series. And
totally erasing. No, that's not going to last.
They're doing so much of it that I appreciate, because now I'm not worried. Right. Because I'm like, well, obviously, it's, like, they're going to...
Honestly, as soon as the Titans disappeared in, like, the second minute of the first episode, I was like, okay, well, they'll be back. So... Season 3 of the Titans takes place in the antimatter universe. But
yeah, well, is Sisko going to still have vibe powers? Because that was his only plot arc last season.
Was getting rid of them, and the mom was like, "You have them back." And then, like, it's that easy. Uh-huh. But yeah. And then, the Black Lightning episode, I don't know, I'm assuming you guys didn't see it, but the Black Lightning episode should have just been part of the crossover, because it essentially was Crohisis happening on Black Lightning's Earth. And it was really good.
They really want to keep that wall up, which is dumb when you're going to end up including Jefferson in the crossover. Like, okay, if you've decided to cross that line, like, why are you still having this imaginary line now?
Exactly, yeah. And so, I love that Jefferson and Barry scene. I thought that was real good.
Oh my gosh, I was so sad. I was like, why are you hurting him? Why are you hurting him? I don't remember any of this. Like, don't let him. Mm-hmm. No. It's like, you bring fear into this crossover just to make him suffer, and it's not nice.
It's not nice.
It really wasn't nice, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Poor guy.
Yeah. So, I at least it feels enough like a finale at the end, because you have one half of... Because, you know, I know everybody was worried that it's like, why are we doing 3 episodes and then, like, a month later doing 2? So that was the one good thing. I'm like, I do feel like that was a good end spot to then tell another part of the story.
I do agree. They picked a good end spot. I don't understand why they broke this up.
No, I don't either. But, ratings?
I don't but know. It is a good, right. But it is a good cliffhanger. Although I do think it's kind of funny that it's like, they're literally the only people left in the multiverse right now, like all the 7 of them. So it's like, what are y'all going to do? Just give up. Like, what's the point? Like, obviously you can bring the others back. So obviously that's going to be it. But I wonder if there's going to be a moment where they're just like, well, I guess we'll just die. Like, it's not like we want to procreate amongst ourselves. So.
you have cooties. And no.
Exactly.
There's not enough room on this ship anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Did you guys watch the, like, aftermath show that they did with Kevin Smith?
I actually did not. I saw a couple minutes of it. But
Matt recorded them all, so we watched all 3 episodes of the crossover on Wednesday, and then we watched all 3 episodes. Although I, like, half paid attention to the aftermath thing. It was just funny, because I was like, all I could do was, like, you literally are using the exact same format as Talking Dead. It's really awkward.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So, it was okay. Mm-hmm. Although Matt did, like, when the new showrunner for The Flash came on, he's like, oh, that's the person everybody thought was going to be the savior of Iris, and he must hate her, like, more than anybody else has ever hated her that, like, wrote the show. Because then that's when he started telling me about how he's like, yeah, instead of, she has a team now who do all the things that she should be doing on the show. It's like, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep. Good times.
Yeah. Sad
times. Good times.
Can't win. Yeah. Can't get good. Anyway. Nope. We will move on, I think, to our last couple of reviews, which is all Tatiana, because you're the only ones who have seen them.
Oh my god. So, you know, I went to go see Little Women. It was awesome. Little Women's the best. I don't know.
I really want to see that so bad.
I think that you will like it. Like, how familiar are you guys with Little Women? The most familiar?
I've read the book. The last movie I saw like 8 billion times because I was obsessed with it for a while. But yes.
And you, Angela?
I've read and seen each of them once.
Okay, perfect.
And that is it.
Okay. So, I think that Greta Gerwig's Little Women is really interesting because, like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't pull the, like, that CW reboot attempt where it's suddenly part of, like, the sci-fi future of Little Women. Which I really wish that that had become a show because I want to know what the hell they were going to do with it. But, you know, it takes place, or there was another version, like an American version recently that was like, they moved it up. It was a different war. I don't know. Whatever. Point is that it's nothing like that. It is literally, it's Little Women, but she does do something different in that she mixes the two novels. So, you know, like it was originally like two parts, right? Two books.
Oh, yeah.
One is like the first, that first Christmas, and the other one is like 3 years later or something. So the movie goes back and forth between the original timeline and then the future timeline, which I thought was an excellent choice. At first, like, it literally starts in the quote-unquote future. So I was like, is the movie just going to start from the midway point? Like, holy shit, that is so crazy. But no, it goes back after that. But it's great because it lets you see people, you know, as they are, quote unquote, before you see like Joe's interpretation of them, for example.
Oh.
I mean, like the biggest person would be Amy, right?
Yeah.
Because when you're reading Little Women or when you're watching Little Women, Amy's just like a fucking brat, right? She's a little brat. She just ruins Joe's life. And then she just takes everything that Joe wants, you know? And you're like, what is this? But but here, like, you just see Amy as herself, you know, in Paris with Aunt March, and even in her interactions with Laurie before you see how it all began, right? Okay. And so you get a lot more of, like, Amy's perspective makes a lot more sense, and she just really comes into her own as just, like, a girl who, like, knows what she wants and says what she wants and, you know, is unapologetic about what she wants. So it's like, okay, that's cool. And then you also, like, the other thing that it really helped with, although, you know, I still resent it, is Professor Bear, whatever his name is, you know, that German dude. So you see, like that dynamic with Joe plays throughout the whole movie because you see them interacting in, like, the first scene. And then, and even so, they don't make it a, like, romance for the ages, right? Joe is a very practical person. Joe is, like, you know, so it's like, also her chemistry with Laurie, I think it's great because obviously we know Timothée Chalamet and Saoirse Ronan. work very well together, thanks to Lady Bird, but they have the chemistry that's very much like a playful, like, brother-sister type chemistry. So, like, when he's like, I love you, and she's like, you don't, you really don't, you know? Or, like, we will not work, I'm like, yes, I agree with Joe, you know? As opposed to normally, like, what are you doing, Joe? Oh my god! So it worked out really well. And they also did a really good job of, like, you know, moving it from Joe to Amy for Laurie instead of making, you know, Laurie look like a total dumbass, which I think he looks like most of the time. Like, I just have to be part of the Larch family. If I can't be with Joe, I just got to be with one of them. Doesn't matter. So
it's true.
So it was better. Like, you know, it's like he's just being like, oh, I feel so bad for myself. But then, and then, you know, Amy's just like living her life. And then when she's like, you, well, like obviously you've never noticed that I've been in love with you, so blah, 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 whatever. And then he's like, wait a second. Oh, this is different. So anyway. So all of that is really good. I don't think there's anything, there's like nothing bad about this movie. Everything is good. I'm trying to think if there's, the casting's all great. Meryl Streep as Aunt March is hilarious. Laura Dern. Laura Dern as Marmy. I feel like Marmy, for me, Marmy as a character is just kind of like a weird, like, it's very much like I idolize my mom and like my mom was perfect and I just want to be like my mom, you know, in the book or like, so she's just like not really a person to me. And then in this one, I do feel like they did a really good job of, like playing just a little bit, showing you like the tension between her and her husband, like her feelings about him going to war and like leaving her alone with the kids. And also, so like the scene where she tells Joe, like, you know, oh, you're much like me. Like, I've had so much trouble controlling my anger, right? I'm always angry. And I've never, ever believed that. You know, I'm like, please. But in this one, I'm like, oh, okay. I see it. Yeah. And I feel like they actually played with it. And then the other thing that they do is incorporate some like moments or lines from Louisa May Alcott's letters into Joe, which makes sense because Joe literally is just Louisa May Alcott.
Yeah.
And so it's like you really see the process of Joe writing Little Women, which is the movie that you're watching. And so then maybe sometimes things change because the publisher told her to change them. And then you're like, did she change that in her own life or just for the book? I don't know. So, yeah.
It actually makes me want to reread the book.
Yeah, it does.
Because I remember more about Louisa May Alcott's history, like her biography and backstory, right, than I remember of that book itself.
Right.
So
I feel like it's all like tangled up.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually why, and especially if the new movie incorporates elements of her real life letters, it makes me want to go read the book first.
Yeah.
And then take what I know of her. But it's more, I know a lot about her childhood because it one of my friends did a paper on it in school.
Oh, cool.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's super good. All the performances are great. Florence Pugh's best Amy ever. I saw like a couple of people like sort of ragging on. I don't know. Basically saying that Emma Watson's just like not as good as the others. But like to be honest, Meg is just like not as interesting of a character.
It really isn't.
So
she's the Mary. What can you say?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, so I mean, but I thought she did a good job. There was no like she was not cringy at any point. It was, and her American accent has gotten much better. I do think it's weird that like 90% of them are not American. But whatever, that's fine. So anyway, go watch Little Women on Christmas when it comes out. Yay. Don't watch, or actually you should watch, just because I just want to know if I'm crazy, a Marriage Story, or Marriage Story, whatever it's called, the other Laura Dern movie. Where she's basically Renata from Big Little Lies, but maybe less angry, more like I guess how Renata would feel in a divorce case that is not her own, because her, I don't know if you guys have seen Big Little Lies, so
I've seen the first season. I haven't watched that one yet, but yeah.
Okay, so it's just a great role for Laura Dern, and then she just gets to do it again in Marriage Story. But Marriage Story is actually about Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver getting a divorce. And I don't know, like they both got nominated. It got nominated. It was written like Noah Baumbach, who is Greta Gerwig's man, potentially husband, partner. I don't know if they're married or not.
I think they're just dating, but yeah.
Okay. Well, it's Greta Gerwig's man. So they both wrote their movies / directed their movies, and Laura Dern has built their movies. but Little Women is clearly superior. Okay. I'm sorry. A Marriage Story was just like, so just like 2 hours of Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson fighting over custody, which I guess is fine, but I feel like it didn't tell me anything about divorce. Like, you know, like as a child of divorce, I was like, yes, I guess that happens, but I could also just watch, you know, play the tape back on my own life to see it. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was going for other than like, sometimes divorce is messy, and sometimes you may love someone, but also want them to die and divorce them.
there's a little bit of a difference between wanting someone to die and wanting to divorce them.
Because he literally was like, sometimes I wish you'd just get hit by a car and die. And I was like, what the fuck? And then he starts crying, and then she like goes over and like is like comforting him, and I was like, what is happening? This is never, this is...
Maybe it doesn't appeal to me because it sounds like depressing and anger-making. Scarlett Johansson annoys me, and so I'm not going to deal with her unless I have to, for Marvel. Adam Driver annoys me. It's actually not his fault. Like, I just hate Kylo that much, but that's not his fault.
Right.
So that would not by itself, like, stop me. But then the two of them, like him, watching him fight with Scarlett Johansson and then yell at each other is not my idea of a good time.
Yeah, I mean, like, sounds like it's trying too hard to be artsy and sophisticated, and I'm like, this does not sound like a movie that I would enjoy.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely did not enjoy it. I was just like, oh, okay. I watched it precisely because people were arguing about it. Like, people were like, no, you have to watch the whole, because, like, people would post that scene, the scene where they're screaming at each other, and then he punches the wall really flimsily. And then make fun of it because of the acting, this is not acting, this is really bad, like yelling, which is really easy. And then other people are like, no, you have to watch the whole movie to understand the context. You can't just like So I was like, let me just watch this whole movie to make sure that I'm not crazy. And so I did. And like, and I'm not going to rag on their acting. I think their acting was fine. I didn't watch that screaming scene and be like, LOL, the losery. But, but it was just not that, you know, revolutionary. It wasn't that interesting. It was like a, off-brand version of Revolutionary Road, you know?
Or if it was just a clip from Revolutionary Road, and yes. I watched that, and I was like, this is also not my idea of a good time. And Leonardo DiCaprio is a lot older than Saoirse Ronan, and I'm still unhappy and uncomfortable. So, like, you haven't really... OP has not made your point, because I'm like, I think all of this needs to go in the trash, so...
but it's like basically the same story, you know? Like, yeah. And then there's another one that it was like, whatever, it's like a lot of things. So, but there are some hilarious memes that have come of it. So, oh, that alone is racist. Like the Baby Yoda meme. I don't know if you saw that, where she's like, it's not Baby Yoda. It's the same species as Yoda. It has its own name. And then Adam Driver is like, it's a baby and it's Yoda. It's Baby Yoda. So, yeah, for that alone. It has entered the lexicon of our pop culture.
It's a new Civil War meme.
Yeah. Like.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Or yeah, it can be one with the lady and the cat, because apparently I've seen stuff about the lady screaming as, like, a clip from a woman, like, with a domestic abuse situation, and they were like, this is sad. So,
but yeah.
We can let Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver's fake pain take over that meme space.
But yeah, I'm good with that. But no, yeah, like, as a dissection of marriage and divorce, I would rather one that shows you the marriage half as well as the divorce half.
Yeah.
This just showed you the divorce. So I'm like, I don't really care because I don't know why they ever love each other. And I don't, you know, they should get divorced. Good. Whereas I know that other stories like this have been done, but they show you the start. They show you why they love each other and they show you how it ended. And then you're like, oh, it's sad. Like Blue Valentine. There you go. Another one. Another one that's superior. It's the same, whatever this very specific subset of a genre is.
Was a musical with Anna Kendrick.
And... Oh, yeah, Last 5 Years. Yes, and Jeremy Jordan.
That was fun, except that he was an asshole. So then I was like, well, you deserve better than him.
Yeah.
He just was like, it was my art. And he's just so caught up in his art. And he's like, bleh. And I was like, all right, yeah. I'm over you. But you sing really well, so okay. Sing again.
singing. It's worth it for the singing. So yeah. And this one didn't have any songs, so automatically I'm
curious. Why bother? There's a musical the story. Why are we watching any other version?
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, basically, based on the movie, I would be like, Adam Driver is the worst. Adam, his character, I don't even know his character's name. And Scarlett Johansson is superior. But then she also did some underhanded things about the child. But then maybe she didn't know those things. And that was just Renata doing them. I don't know. So, you know, maybe that was just her lawyer. But yeah. So moral of the story is don't watch Marriage Story. Just watch that one clip. And then look at all the memes. Because that's what matters.
I haven't even watched that clip. And I've looked at the memes. And I feel like I still have appreciation.
I haven't seen either. I feel like I'm deprived.
You have to go on my timeline. Go on my timeline. And then I don't think I retweeted the actual clip, but some of the things I retweeted, you know, link to the clip, right?
Okay.
That's right. So there you go.
All right. I'll do that. All right. So one movie to go see, one movie not to go see.
Yay!
Both starring Laura Dern. Co-starring, I guess. She's not really
co-starring, yeah. But yeah. She is the best part of one. And a equally good as everything else part of the other.
Yeah. So I think we won't take long on this, but this is our last podcast of the year because we're going to take a month off because I'm leaving the country and it's Christmas. Yay, vacation. Woo. Anyway, so I can't even remember. Like, I honestly was trying to think this whole time what my favorite thing was this year. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, the obvious would just say Endgame, but, like, I liked Infinity War more. I don't think Endgame is as good of a movie anyway, and obviously it's depressing. So, okay, no, you know what? I know what my highlight of the year was. It wasn't actually an actual movie. It was being in the room at San Diego Comic-Con when they announced Phase 4.
Oh, nice.
Because just that experience was fun, even though, like, half of it afterwards, I was like, well, am I really excited about that thing? But, yeah.
I love that. I think
that was that was a really good pop culture moment for me. That was the probably my highlight of the year.
My top movie of the year would probably have to be Parasite. And the fact...
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. And the fact that I saw it with a bunch of my friends. It was like, you know, we had a whole row. And then we all went to dinner afterwards to talk about... So, not to talk about the movie, but we went to dinner and then we talked about the movie. The whole dinner. So, obviously it was a worthwhile film to have a discussion about.
I have not seen enough 2019 movies to have a top 2019 movie. Yeah. Hotel de Luna, we talked about that enough on another podcast. We're not going to go into that again. The Good Place continues to be the only American show I bother to keep up with. And then, I guess the surprise, and maybe I'm just remembering this better because I just did this, but like, I just binged the third season of Dragon Prince on Netflix, and it's really good. Which is not a huge surprise, given that it is some of the creative team behind The Last Airbender. Right. And Korra, but it got really good for a variety of reasons that we don't have time to get into, but like, it's there, it just showed up, very little fanfare.
Yeah,
and then they put it in like the banner, it was in like the banner at the top for one day, and that was it. But I was like, it's all really like this, but you have to, it's a very linear story though, you can't go watch season three, like you have to go watch season, and season one and two aren't bad, it's not like the first season of Parks and Rec type slog to get through them. They're good, but it got really good in season three. So,
okay,
for that.
Yay! So thank you for joining us this year, and we'll see you in a month.
We'll see you in 2020.
Yeah. All right. And as always, you know, news, reviews, interviews, etc. on withanaccent.com. Follow us at With an Accent on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. With an Accent TV on YouTube, and the podcast is at Pop a la carte pod on Twitter and Facebook.
Bye.
Happy holidays. And happy New Year.
Holidays. Yay.
Bye. Bye-bye.